Jehoiada strengthened himself and took captains of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jehoram, and Ishmael son of Joram, none, blah, 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 and all these guys, and into covenant with him. And they went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah and the chief fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said unto them, Behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord hath said of the sons of David. So that's pretty cool that he did that. He was the son of Jehoram. Anyway, this is the thing that, well, that's, that guy was the king. Okay. This is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you entering in on the Sabbath of the priests of the Levites shall be porters of the doors, and a third part shall be at the king's house, and a third part the gate of the foundation. All the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. Let none come into the house of the Lord save the priest. They that minister of the Levites, they shall go in, for they are holy, but all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. And the Levites shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand. And whosoever else cometh into the house, he shall be put to death. But be ye with the king when he cometh in and when he goeth out. So the Levites and all Judah did according to all things Jehoiada the priest had commanded, and took every man his men that were to come in on the house with them that were to go out on the Sabbath. And Jehoiada the priest dismissed not the courses. Moreover, Jehoiada the priest delivered the captains of 100 spears and bucklers and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of God. And he said, All the people, every man having his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along with the altar and the temple by the king round about. Then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, God save the king. Now remember, this is what happened was the king died. And so Joash or Jehoash, depending on if you're reading in Kings or Chronicles, he was a baby. He was the youngest. And Jehoiada's wife stole him away because Athaliah, the queen, killed all the royal seed. So then, when he was 6 years old, he had his coming out party, and this is it. And Jehoiada, the priest, is a great man of God. He makes sure that God's word is being carried out, which is a really important thing here, because as we saw, it's the Christ line, and it saves the line of David. And so that's what happens. In verse 12, it says, Now then, when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people unto the house of the Lord. And she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets. Also the singers with instruments of music and such taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah rent her clothes and said, Treason, treason. Then Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds and were set over the host and said unto them, Have her forth of the ranges, and whoso follow her, let him be slain with the sword. For the priest said, Slay her not in the house of the Lord. So they laid hands on her, and when she was come to the entering of the horse gate by the king's house, they slew her there. He didn't want anybody killed inside the temple, the house of God. But they took her out. And she was from Ahab's family. We'll look at that in a couple of minutes. So she was an evil woman, and she wanted to take control of Judah. She was ambitious, to say the least. And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people. Then all the people went to the house of Baal and break it down and break his altars and his images in pieces and slew Matan the priest of Baal before the altars. And Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord, to offer burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by David. And he set the porters at the gates of the house of the Lord, that none which was unclean in anything should enter in. And he took the captain of hundreds and the nobles and the governors and the people of the land, and brought down the king from the house of the Lord. And they came through the high gate unto the king's house and set the king upon the throne of the kingdom. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet. After that, they had slain Athaliah with the sword. So, because she was a disruptive force in the kingdom. So now I looked some of this stuff up, and just to keep things straight. So there's two different guys named Joash or Jehoash. One seems to be a son of Ahab. And he later on is a king in Israel. And the second one is this one we just looked at. He's the son of Ahaziah, and he's the ninth king of Judah, and he's rescued by Jehoshaphat, wife of the priest Jehoiada, but he's omitted in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, which we don't really understand why, but he is. So there's two Joashes here that are mentioned, or Jehoashes, depending on Kings and Chronicles, is, you know, they spell it different. Then there's Ahaziah. He was the father of this Joash. He's the son and successor. Well, first one was the son and successor of Ahab, king of Israel, and of Jezebel. You can read about him in 1 Kings 22 and 2 Kings 1. And then the second one is the youngest son of Jehoram, king of Judah, and of Athaliah is the one who killed all the children, and he's the one that escaped. So now the question is, you know, was he of the line of Ahab? And we don't think so, because Elisha prophesied, I guess, did Elijah prophesy or Elisha or both of them maybe?
It was Elisha.
Yeah, that the bloodline of Ahab would be cut off. Okay, so that would mean that he shouldn't be in the line of Ahab. And then there's Athaliah. And we're not sure. It says she was the daughter of Ahab, but the word daughter can mean different things. So she could be, Jim thinks she might be the daughter of Omri, which was Ahab's father, which is very possible. And she was married to Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat. You know, they made this royal wedding, you know, deal, you know, political stuff to try to, you know, keep peace. And this Jehoram is not to be confused with the other Jehoram, who was the second eldest son of Ahab. But that would make the two Jehorams like brothers-in-law or something. Okay? So, I mean, they were related. They were in-laws. So, there's one in Judah, and there's one, you know, there's two Joashes, there's two Ahaziahs, and there's two Jehorams. And probably more as we go on. But that's what we've hit so far. All right, so we're going to go back to 2 Kings chapter 12 quickly. I'm going to try not to get too crazy with some of this stuff. Okay. So we read chapter 12, but I want to go back to verse 19 and pick it up there. It says, chapter 12, 2 Kings, verse 19, and the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Well, we just read some of that, and we'll probably go back and read more. And his servants arose and made a conspiracy and slew Joash in the house of Millo, which goeth down to Silla. Okay, this is the Joash of whatever. And Josachar, the son of Shimeah, Jehozabad, the son of Shemar, his servant, smote him, and he died, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and the Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. So that was the end of Joash. He did some good things, but he apparently did some good things until Jehoiada died. And after Jehoiada died, he went off the rails, kind of. And so then these guys conspired against him and got rid of him. So, chapter 13, verse 1. And in the 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, began to reign over Israel in Samaria and reigned 17 years. And he did that which was evil. That's no surprise in Israel, because most of the kings were pretty bad. The only one that came close to being decent was Jehu. So he did evil in the sight of the Lord and followed the sins of Jehoram, son of Nebat, and made Israel to sin, and he departed not therefrom. And as we go through this, we see two names pop up with the kings. We see David, and that's in relationship to being a good king. And then we see Jeroboam, and he's the bad king. And they keep going back and referencing those two guys as the standard. So, verse 3, and the anger of the king of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, all their days. Now, this is interesting. And Jehoahaz besought the Lord, and the Lord hearkened unto him, for he saw the oppression of Israel because of the king of Syria oppressed them. So all of a sudden, this guy turns to God and he asks for help. And the Lord gave Israel a savior. Now, what does that mean? Well, it probably means, like in Judges, the judges were called saviors. They were men of God, they were prophets, and they came and they spoke the word and they brought deliverance to God's people some way or another. Samson or one of those guys, or Deborah the prophetess, they came and they actually fought for the people and they won battles. So we don't know who this savior was, but he sent one to Israel. So that they went out from under the hand of the Syrians, and the children of Israel dwelt in their tents as before time. Nevertheless, they departed not from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, who made Israel sin, but walked therein, and there remained the grove also in Samaria, meaning, a place where they had all these idols, these spires that they build and all that stuff. So we have here the entrance of an unnamed savior, a man of God, and we don't know anything about him. But that's what happened. So, did I skip a page? I sure did. Let's see. Neither did he leave the people up to Jehoahaz, but 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, and 10,000 footmen, for the king of Syria had destroyed them and had made them like the dust of by threshing. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoahaz and all that he did and his might, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Joash slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria, and Joash, his son, reigned in his stead. Now that's the other Joash. Woohoo! You don't know the players without a program, they used to say in baseball, you know? You just kind of keep your eye on who's who. Now, this gets interesting because it's kind of confusing. In the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, began Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, to reign over Israel and Samaria and reigned 16 years. So the Joash in Judah is reigning, and then this other guy comes along later with the same name, and he's ruling in Israel. Okay? Verse 11, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, but he walked therein. And the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did in his might are written in Chronicles. And Joash slept with his fathers Jeroboam, and Jeroboam sat upon his throne. And Joash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. Now, Elisha. Okay, now we get back to Elisha. It says, now Elisha was fallen sick of a sickness whereof he died. Okay, it doesn't mean he died at that moment. It means that this sickness resulted in his death. Because it tells you later he died. Okay, and Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him. So this is a little bit out of chronology here because it already told us that Joash died, right? So it's kind of like, going back, like they do in the movies. You go back, you're telling a story, and then they go back and tell you something from the past. So it says, and Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bows and arrows. And he took unto him bows and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. I don't think he threw up the sash, but they had shutters or something. And he shot the arrow. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. He said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. So he took the arrows and he slammed them on the ground 3 times. And the man of God was wroth with him. He was angry. Elisha was angry. Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times, then thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice, which means 3 times, right? And Elisha died, and they buried him. So, this is the end of this great man, Elisha. It doesn't tell us much about, it doesn't tell us how long he lived or any of that. But he fell asleep. And so it says that he died and they buried him. And the bands of Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up upon his feet. Now, not Elisha, but the guy that they threw into the sepulchre, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know why that is or why it's in there, but it's there. Kind of a strange story to tell in the middle of all this. So, verse 22, but Hazael, the king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. And the Lord was gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, and he had respect on them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence as yet. So Hazael, however you say it, Hazael, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his stead, and Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, son of Hazael, cities which he had taken out of the hand, and Jehoahaz, his father, by war. Three times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. So three times he beat him, just as Elisha, the man of God, said he would. So his prophecy came to pass, which is, you know, one of the marks of a true prophet, that his words come to pass. So now we get to chapter 14. Verse 1. And this, in the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, the king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. So now we're back to Joash and Judah, and his son Amaziah is going to be king. And he was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehohadan of Jerusalem. Okay? And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all things as Joash his father did. And Joash did a lot of good things, but he didn't tear down the high places. He, you know, people still burned incense to idols, and he didn't stop them. Okay? And then, of course, later on, he didn't do so good. But this guy did things that his father did right. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, as yet the people did sacrifice and burn incense in the high places. And it came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, that he slew his servants which had slain the king, his father. Remember, he had gotten assassinated or murdered. But the children of the murderers he slew not, according unto which is written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the law commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. He slew of Edom in the valley of Saul 10,000, and took Selah by war, and called the name of it Jokthiel unto this day. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, or Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, the king of Israel, saying, come, let us look one another in the face. That sounds like he wants to be buddies, but I don't think that's what he meant, because as we read on, they didn't like each other. And Jehoash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trode down the thistle. In other words, it didn't work. Thou hast indeed smitten Edom, and thine heart hath lifted thee up. Glory of this, and tarry at home, for why shouldest thou meddle to thy hurt, thou that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee? So what's he saying here? He says, why do you want to fight me? You beat Edom. We're not friends. Now you're proud because you had this great military battle. Why do you want to fight me? Because then you'll lose, and you'll lose everything. That's what Joash is saying to Amaziah. But Amaziah would not hear. Therefore, Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, looked one another in the face at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah. And Judah was put to the worst before Israel, and they fled every man to their tents. And Jehoash, king of Israel, took Amaziah, the king of Judah, the son of Jehoash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh, and came to Jerusalem and break down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim unto the corner gate 400 cubits, and he took all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasure of the king's house and hostages, and returned to Samaria. Okay, now we're going to go to Chronicles chapter 25 and read what it says there about all this, because it gives us more information. So, chapter 25, verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehohadadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. So we didn't get that in Kings, did we?
Yeah.
He did what was right, but he didn't do it with a perfect heart. He didn't do it for the joy of doing it for God. He did it for other reasons, I guess. Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants, that he killed the king, his father, but he slew not the children, but did it as is written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, nor the children for the fathers, but every man shall die of his own sin. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together. You okay?
Yeah.
Good. And made captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the house of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that would handle spear and shield. So he has raised this tremendous army, 300,000 men. And he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God. See, we didn't get this in Kings, did we? We just related the event. But here we see that a man of God comes to warn him. And we don't have a name for this guy. He's just a man of God, a prophet of some sort, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. So he says, you know, don't take these guys, because they're not in harmony with God. They're not, you know, they haven't been believers. They've been idol worships for a long, long time. Verse 8, but if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God will make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. So he's saying, you know, if you go, you're going to get beat, right? So God has warned him. This man, this prophet has declared the word of God and his judgment of what's going to happen. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given the army of Israel? You know, I already paid for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the valley of Salt and smote the children of Zer 10,000. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive and brought them unto the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock, that they were all broken in pieces. That was nice. But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back that they should not go with him to battle fell upon the cities of Judah from Samaria even unto Beth Horon and smote 3,000 of them and took much spoil. You know, the guys that he sent away from Israel, they went and raided cities and took food, money, and probably people. Now it came to pass after Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites that he brought the gods of the children of Zer and set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. So all of a sudden now he is, you know, not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Remember, it says he did what was right in the sight of God, but not with a perfect heart. Mm-hmm. He wasn't sold out. He wasn't committed. And so when he got these, you know, he got these gods, he said, well, maybe I'll worship them too. Wherefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet. He sends to him another guy, another prophet, again, not named, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? Makes sense, right? Why are you taking these gods, which did nothing to help the people that you beat, you defeated? And it came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, art thou made the king's counsel? Forbear, why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. So that's a pretty straightforward, hey, you're screwed up and you're done. God has turned his back. Well, Amaziah turned his back and God said, well, you know, the consequences, you're going to lose. And Amaziah, the king of Judah, took advice. Now, he just rejected the prophet, right?
Yes.
So this advice is from his own counselors. He said, and he sent to Joash, son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us see one another in the face. And Joash, king of Israel, sent Amaziah, the king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trode down the thistle. Thou sayest, lo, thou hast smitten the Ebonites, and thine heart lifteth thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee? So, you know, Joash doesn't want to fight, does he? He says, you know, be happy. Stay home. But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. So Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and they saw one another in the face, both he and Amaziah, king of Judah, at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. And Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, and break down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits, which is about 600 and something feet. And he took all the gold and silver of the vessels found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, and the treasures of the king's house, and hostages also, and returned to Samaria. And Amaziah, the king of Joash of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, and king of Israel, 15 years. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, they are not written in the book of Kings of Judah and Israel. Now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem. So I guess, you know, Joash took him back to Jerusalem. He took the silver and gold, and he left Amaziah there. So the people in Jerusalem are not happy, so they make a conspiracy against him, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent the Lachish after him, and they slew him there, and they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. So that's Amaziah. What a guy. He had a chance, but his pride took him away. Kind of like Saul, you know? He got too big for his own good. Okay, back to Kings. So here again we see the prophecy of prophets, and we don't know their names, but you know, because they spoke for God, they're just because we don't know their names didn't mean they're any less prophets, right? They were prophets of God, and they did what they were supposed to do. Okay, chapter 15 of 2 Kings. And you're thinking, we didn't read all of 2 Kings 14, but we don't have to because we read the important parts in Chronicles. Okay? So that wouldn't add anything to us. Okay, 2 Kings 15, verse 1, it says, in the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years, and 2 and 50 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, save that the high places were not removed, the people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places. And the Lord smote the king so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in several houses, which means a place for lepers, you know, separate from other people. And Jehotham, the king's son, was over the house judging the people of the land. Okay, now we have to go back to Chronicles chapter 26 to find out why he became a leper. Okay. Chapter 26, verse 1. This is probably all we'll get to the rest of the night, which is okay. And then all the people of Judah took Uzziah. Okay. Now, what was his name in Azariah? Azariah. But in Chronicles, he's Uzziah. Okay. Same guy. Azariah and Uzziah. Just so you don't get confused. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of the Lord. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Verse 5 is a really interesting verse. He did right, he said in verse 4, according to all that his father did. And his father did some things that were right, but he didn't do it with a perfect heart. But here he said he did all things in the sight of the Lord. And he sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah. This Zechariah is not the prophet the book is named after. Okay? If you hold your place here and go to the book of Zechariah, which is the next to the last book of the Old Testament, right before Malachi. Chapter 1, Zechariah. It says, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying. Okay, this happened, you know, hundreds of years later. Darius is the time of Daniel, right? Okay. So this Zechariah in Chronicles is a prophet, but he's not the one that it, the book of Zechariah is named after. And it's interesting that there are some 28 different Zechariahs in the Word of God. So, yeah. So there's a lot of them, but this guy is a prophet, and he had understanding in the visions of the God. As long as he sought the Lord, speaking of Uzziah, God made him to prosper. Now, in the NIV, it reads where it says Zechariah who had understanding. In the NIV, it says Zechariah who instructed him, Uzziah, in the fear of God. That's how the NIV translates it. In the Septuagint, it says Zacharias, who understood the fear of the Lord, and in his days, the days of Zechariah, he sought the Lord. Uzziah, in the days of Zechariah, as long as Zechariah was there working with him, he sought the Lord. So, in some way or another, this guy had a good influence on Uzziah. Kind of like Jehoiada had a good influence on Joash, right? Until when he died, then he went off the rails. So, as long as he did what Zechariah told him and he sought the Lord made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gur Baal and Gur Baal, I guess, and Mahumnes. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Where was it, do I remember, where in one of the records it talked about how if they listened to the prophets, they would prosper, right? Obey God and listen to the prophets and you prosper. Well, this is exactly what happened with Uzziah. He listened to this prophet and he prophesied, he prospered and he did great and did great things. So it says in verse 9, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry, meaning farming. He loved to farm. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael, the scribe, and Messiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. So, the whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of the valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army 300,000, 7,500. That made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared them throughout all the host, shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. A habergeon is a coat of mail. You know what coat of mail is? It's the link chain stuff that they would wear like a vest, and it was armor. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks and shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. He was marvelously helped by who? God, right? Because he listened to Zechariah and good counsel. But, oh, there's a but. That's a big but there. I mean, you can't get any bigger than that. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Same problem, pride, you know, he got full of himself. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. You know, he's not supposed to go in there and do that, right? What those two of the sons of Aaron tried to burn strange incense one time and they died. So should have known better. And Azariah the priest, so now here's another Azariah. The priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. So this guy is a pretty great priest. He's standing up against the king, which can be a tricky business, right? Because he's got a big army. But he did. He stood up against the king. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, "It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense." That word consecrated is the same word as sanctified, which would mean these guys were anointed, right? They were anointed of the Lord. "Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Wow, what a deal, huh? Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him. They buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper," and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. You know, we could look quickly at Isaiah chapter 6. That's what it said. I didn't look this up, so we're going to take a chance here. But he is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 6. It says in verse 1, "And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, his train filled the temple." So that's what it says about Uzziah in Isaiah. Doesn't really help us much with understanding
No.
that, but
It
gives you a date.
it dates stuff, right? But Azariah the priest, and he was anointed, and he took a stand against the king, and you know, Uzziah paid the price. So I think we'll just stop right there, and rather than start on something else.